Well, good morning, Fairhaven Church. Great to see you. I'm glad you're here in Centerville Campus and Northmont Classics. We're so glad that you joined us live. In fact, this is the second week for us that we have launched the Springboro Campus. So would you again help me welcome the Springboro Campus as they're live with us right now. Great to have you guys. Thanks for joining in. Welcome to week one of a brand new six-week series entitled Jesus, where we're going to be looking at his life over the next 6 weeks and studying him very, very carefully and asking how can we be followers of Christ in all that he experienced. Before I dive in, I want to just remind you that here at Fairhaven, if you're brand new, we often will give you these little cards. We call them our bringer cards. On all of our campuses, Springboro, Northmont, we have these cards that we want to give to you on the way out, wherever you're at, in any venue, any campus. We'd love for you to take one of these cards and hand them out to a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a family member. If there's any series that would be great for them to hear about Jesus and his life and stories of what Jesus did and how he handled himself with people and conflicts and so forth, this would be a great series for you to invite them. So we gave you these little cards. They're easy. On the back, it tells you just a little bit about the series and then some dates so that you can hand them to people and invite them to come in any one of our three campuses. We'd love for them to join us. And secondly, because we're starting the fall and this is what we call our fall series, we're also gearing up for small groups again. And so we're starting to put together materials that will be actually on the website today. If you have a small group, and so you can just download that, and it'll be a one-page PDF so that you can have questions that you can discuss, some thoughts about the message that we'll learn and study together today. But more importantly, if you're not in a small group, here's what we want you to do. It's real simple. We want you to grab a bag and grab two people. In other words, if you're not in a small group, you probably know two people. They may either be in the church or maybe they're not in the church and they're interested in studying. And so grab one of these bags in here in all of our campuses, Springboro, Northmont, Centerville here. We have a DVD in here. We have some material about what it means to lead a small group. And it's really pretty simple because all it is you just facilitating questions and we'll help you with that. And so grab a bag and grab two people. We'd love for you to be part of this and join into a small group. In fact, what we would say is this, that in a small group, you're actually going to learn a lot more. Because in the small group, you're able to discuss and dialogue the very things that we're studying and learning here. And if you've not been at Fairhaven very long, we often will say this, it is better to be face to face than just face forward. Now, we want you to come and be face forward, but then take it from there and go into a circle and be face to face because you'll probably go deeper and you'll learn a lot more and you'll find your greatest strength right there in the midst of that community. So we invite you to do that. So we start the series today, and we're going to be taking a close look at Jesus' life and see how Jesus faced the feelings that you have every single day, faced the emotions that you and I have every single day, faced temptations, conflicts. Jesus faced a secular culture. Would you agree that we face a secular culture? How did he do that? How did he navigate that? And so we're going to be looking at his life. In fact, in this series, it's really sort of like a Instagram account. We're going to be looking at Matthew's Instagram account, if you will, where he gives us snapshots of Jesus' life. And we're going to look at those snapshots. And so if you brought a Bible or you have a device with you in all of our campuses, we're going to camp in Matthew and look at different snapshots throughout the book of Matthew. It's in the New Testament. It's the first of the Gospels. If you know it, in all of our campuses, help me out here. Here we go. All the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's four of them. And all four of them tell all kinds of incredible stories. Truth be told, the stories are not a biography of Jesus' life. Make sure you hear that. The Gospels, even though they're in story form, are not there to be a biography of Jesus' life. They're there to prove that Jesus was God and that he's worth following because God sent him and put him in human skin and lived and felt the same emotions and the thoughts and the things that you and I encounter on any given day. And so that's why we're going to study the book of Matthew. If you want to know the big idea, I love to give the big idea because that way, that's the foundation that we're building this whole series on. You don't need to turn there, but it's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Here's the big idea. You can jot this down if you want. This is what the whole series is about. John says this, whoever claims to live in him, him being Jesus, whoever claims to live in him or claims to live in him, then you ought to live as Jesus did. So if you claim to be a Christ follower, then you ought to pay close attention to these snapshots that we'll be looking at of Jesus' life so that you can live like him. Jesus is our example, and that's why here at Fairhaven Church, we often say we're Christ followers, because we want to follow him as he is our Savior and our Lord. We want to follow him in our lives. And so that's what this whole series is about. You could say it this way. If you claim him, live like him. I mean, simply put, if you claim him, then live like him. And so we're going to look at six snapshots of his life and take a very, very close look at some of the things that he did. Today, week one, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at temptation. We're going to look at how Jesus handled temptation. We're going to see that Jesus was tempted three different times about three different things, which really help us to categorize the fact that every temptation that you and I will face will actually be one of these kinds of temptation in our life on a daily basis. And the sermon title is Breaking Bad. That's what we want to do. We want to follow Jesus, and we want to learn how to deal with temptation. So let me try it with you on all of our different campuses. If you're 18 years and below, I want you to raise your hand in all of our campuses if you've ever experienced any temptation in your life, okay? 18 and below. Let me just see your hand. Just raise them up high, really high, all over the place. Northmont, Centerville, Springboro, look around, okay? There's a whole section right over there. Pay close attention, you guys over there, okay? All right, so if you're 30 years and below, raise your hand if you've ever faced temptation, maybe even in the last week. Let me see the 30 and below. Okay, let me just raise them up high. You guys, raise them up high. There you go. Okay, some of you are struggling with this. If you're 50 and below in all of our campuses, would you raise your hand if you've ever had a temptation? I want you to look around, especially if you're 16-year-old. It doesn't end, 16-year-old. Look around. If you're 80 years and below, would you raise your hand? It's like it never ends, right? I mean, temptation. So I'm speaking to the right audience in all of our campuses. How do we deal with temptation? It's a real issue, whether you're 14, 16, or whether you're 80. We better learn how to deal with it. And so that's why we're going to look at a snapshot, because Jesus had a date with the devil. And in that encounter, we learn about temptation. And then we're going to end with seven truths on dealing with temptation in our lives. So I hope you brought a Bible or some device with you, and let's take a look at this story in Matthew chapter 4. It's one of the very first snapshots, one of the very first pictures in Matthew's account, Matthew's Instagram account, if you will, of Jesus. So Matthew chapter 4, it's the fourth chapter's in, and let's read this story. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Let me read the whole thing for you. I'm going to ask a nagging question that I think we need to address, and then we're going to look at three areas of temptation, and then I'm going to give you seven truths about temptation that we need to know about in our lives, because seemingly every one of us deals with temptation, according to all those that raised their hand in all of our different campuses and venues. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. We'll talk about that. He was tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. If you fast for 40 days and 40 nights, here's what I know about you. You're going to be hungry, right? Verse 3, the tempter came to him, that's Satan, that's the devil, that's the evil one, that's the deceiver. The Bible uses a variety of different names for him. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered. And you'll notice that some of you in your Bibles, Jesus answers in red. These are his words. He quotes either Deuteronomy chapter 6 or Deuteronomy chapter 8. So he quotes God's word, God the Father. Verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, that's Jerusalem, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If," big question, "if you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." So the devil now is quoting scripture, right? Deuteronomy chapter 8, to be exact. Jesus answers in verse 7. "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Do not test God. All through the Bible it says, do not test God. Except in one place that we looked at several weeks ago, and that is our money, because that's one of the hardest things that we deal with. So Jesus says, do not put the Lord to the test. Verse 8. Thirdly, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. Luke chapter 4 has the same exact story in just a minute. I love the way Luke ends it because he talks about the fact that the devil comes back and back and continues to come back. But here's a nagging question that I think we need to address as we're thinking about temptation. Before I give you the three categories of temptations that all of us face on a regular basis, and what will happen to you is, as I give you these three categories, chances are you're going to put in your life where you are most often tempted into one of these three categories, because we learn them right here in Matthew chapter 4 as Jesus was tempted three times. He was brought out of the wilderness and was tempted. But here's a nagging question that I think we need to answer, because people may be thinking this question, you may be thinking this question, others in your small group, you may want to dialogue about this. And the question is this: could Jesus have sinned? You see, Jesus is fully man, and he's fully God. I don't truly understand that, to be honest with you. I don't think anybody can really explain that. He is truly man and truly God. He's 100% man and 100% God. See, in James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, God cannot be tempted. If that's the case, then how do we answer this question? Can Jesus be tempted? That's a really important question to start with, church, because hear me well. If we're to follow Jesus and he understands everything about us, then we need to come up with an answer to this. Let me give you the answer. See, if Jesus were only human, pay close attention, if he was only human, he would have then been free and able to sin just like you and I can in our lives. But Jesus' human nature did not exist alone. He was fully human and fully God. If Jesus had sinned, then both natures would have sinned. Are you with me so far? Right? And so because he's fully God and fully man, the answer to the question, could Jesus have sinned, is what? Help me out here, church. Some of you have already, I've seen you lean over to somebody and give the answer. In all of our locations and campuses, the answer is, loudly, it is no. Well, that's an important thing to know, because if Jesus couldn't or didn't sin when he was tempted, then how is he a great example for us as humans? Here's why. You see, it doesn't take away anything that Jesus didn't sin because of the force of temptation. You got to make sure you get that. Just because Jesus didn't sin doesn't take away the force of temptation in a person's life. And because he didn't sin, he's our great example. We can learn the most from him. That's why we're Christ followers. That's why we're Jesus followers, because he was fully man. The great news is he felt what you felt. He experienced what you experienced. He knows the temptation, the full force of temptation, but he did not sin. Hebrews tells us that. Hebrews 4, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that. 1 Peter 2 tells us that. 1 John 3 tells us that. It's all through the Bible. Jesus did not sin, but he experienced the full force of temptation in his life. In fact, let me give you a couple thoughts as you may be wrestling with this question, because I know people have asked me that question. I mean, if God can't be tempted, then when you look at Matthew chapter 4, how is it that Jesus was tempted? Here's the answer. Because he was fully man and fully God. He experienced all the temptations that you and I did. The difference is he didn't give in. Because he's God, he was able to fight it. Therefore, if you and I are in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we have the power, because of Jesus, to fight temptation. That's right about where the church ought to be saying amen, right? Three things that you may want to just jot down, though, about this nagging question, could Jesus have sinned? The devil thought he might. That's why he tempted him. The devil thought he might. You need to know something about the devil. The devil does not know your future. Did you know that? The only thing that the devil knows is your present. The devil only can anticipate your thoughts. He can anticipate your actions, but he does not know your future. He cannot see into the future. He does not know the future. Only God knows the future. The devil thought that somehow Jesus might give in. Here's the second thought. These temptations were real. I'll show you that in a second. These three temptations, as we walk through them and look at them, they were very, very real, and they set for us three categories that we ought to be very, very careful about in our lives before we look at the truths of temptation, three categories that we'll look at in just a minute. And thirdly, Jesus did not sin. Therefore, he is our example. Therefore, he's worth studying. Therefore, that's why we want to take a look at the snapshot and ask the question, how do we fight the temptation in our lives? Here's the principle that I hope that you'll get today as we're working through this. The principle about the devil is this. The devil isn't that smart. He's just absolutely relentless. He's relentless. Luke chapter 4 tells us in his story, as Luke is telling the story of these temptations, at the very end, Luke says, when the devil had finished all of this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. I hadn't seen that before, and I've read that many, many times. As I was studying for this months ago, I hadn't seen that before. In other words, the devil's not all that smart, but he is relentless. He'll come after you and after you and after you. Do you know what I'm talking about, church? He's relentless. So how do we fight it? Well, let me give you the kinds of temptations that Jesus faced and the kinds of temptations that we face. They fall really into one of three categories, and we need to make sure that we understand these three categories, because when you look at your life and my life, whether you're 14, 16, or whether you're anywhere in between, we all face temptations, different kinds of temptations at different times in our lives. Here's the three kinds of temptations that Jesus faced and the three kinds of temptations that we will all face in our lives. Number one, you might want to jot this down in all of our locations as we're thinking through this. That way you can talk about it in your small group. How will we, number one, how will we satisfy our wants and our desires? That will be one of the temptations that you and I face. Satisfying our wants and our desires. See, that's exactly what took place in this first temptation. Jump down to verse 4. Let's take a look at it again. Jesus was tempted because he was hungry to turn stones into bread. And it seems at surface level, there's nothing wrong with if Jesus being hungry that he would have some bread. But the enemy was tempting him to cross over from his humanity to his divinity, to bypass what God was doing in his life, God the Father, bringing him out into the desert, preparing him for what was going to happen in his life as he began his ministry and then ultimately went to the cross. And you see, he was hungry. So the question is going to be in our lives, how are you going to satisfy your wants and desires? So we have all kinds of wants in our lives. We have all kinds of desires. God gives us amazing things in our lives, but he tells us where those wants and desires ought to be and how they ought to happen in our lives. He gives us clear instruction, which is just absolutely amazing. But oftentimes we want to satisfy our own wants and our own desires in our own way. And we see that right here where the enemy said, why don't you take those stones and turn them into bread? I mean, after all, you're hungry. And doesn't the enemy always do that with us? You have this want in your life. You have a desire in your life. I mean, after all, everyone else is doing it. After all, no one will really know. One of the areas of temptation that we will all face is satisfying our wants and our drives in our lives. Here's the second one. Second kind of temptation that Jesus faced, and the second kind that we'll all face, and that is that we will try to force God's hand. We'll try to force God's hand. See, the second temptation was that the devil brought Jesus up to the temple in Jerusalem. I've been there. It's pretty high, actually. It's above everything. You can see pretty much the whole valley and everything there. And he brings him up to there and he says, why don't you jump off? Because you know that God promises that he's going to take care of you. And if you jump off, he's going to catch you. The devil actually quotes scripture to him and says, why don't you force God's hand? Why don't you just jump off the temple here and God will catch you? Tempting him to force God's hand. Here's what I know. If you jump off a building and you say, God, help me, God's probably going to respond, be careful, right? And yet so often in our lives, we pray and we ask God to answer this prayer. And if he doesn't answer it in the way that we want, you know what we do? We force his hand. We answer it in the way we want it to be answered. We work really, really hard. We force God's hand. Or we want to do something in our lives, and so we go ahead and do it. And as we're out there doing something, and we're experiencing difficulty or pain or confusion, then we always look backwards and say, God, you need to help me. I've made this decision in my life. You need to help me. You need to bless me in this situation. And you'd force God's hand. You see, as Christ followers, here's what we do. God, where do you want to take me? And we follow him. And then his promises are behind all of that. One of the temptations that we'll have in our lives is to try to force God's hand. And that was the temptation that Satan had given to Jesus right here. Here's the third kind of temptation that we'll face. Will we compromise to avoid pain or to create success? Will we compromise in our lives to either avoid whatever pain that we might be experiencing or to create whatever kind of success that we have and want and desire in our own lives? See, that's why the devil took him up and said, let me show you all of this, all of the kingdoms of the world, and if you bow down to me, I'll give you all of this. See, what Satan didn't know is that Jesus was going to the cross. Jesus knew he was going to the cross. He knew that was going to be very, very painful. He knew there was going to be all kinds of things that were going to take place. He was going to be betrayed and whipped and brutally beaten. All you have to do is read the stories. They're in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can even watch the movie. Anybody seen the movie? It's amazing what Jesus went through for you and for me. And we see all of that. And Jesus knew that. And so the enemy tempts him, not even knowing that, and says, if you just bow down to me, you can avoid all of that. See, one of the temptations that we'll face is to compromise, to avoid pain. See, if you're lonely, it's really easy to compromise, to satisfy that. In our businesses, it's really easy to create success with just a little dishonesty. Not a lot, just a little dishonesty. And we'll be tempted to compromise, to either avoid pain or to create success. If you look at your life, because every one of us in all of our campuses, we raised our hands, whether you're young or old or anywhere in between, you know that the chances are in your life, the kind of temptation that you're battling and fighting right now probably fits in one of those three categories. It fits in one of the three categories. You're either struggling with satisfying a want or a desire in your life, you're trying to force God's hand in some way, or you're compromising because you're either trying to avoid pain or you're trying to create some kind of success in your life. And we can get around that. In other words, we can battle that temptation. Right, church? We can battle that. Let me give you seven truths about temptation. As a matter of fact, I don't have time here today to to give you all the scripture verses attached to it. But if you want, you can certainly go. And on the website, I have given all kinds of verses and scripture passages that you can read. It's right on the website. You can download that along with the material for your small group and take a look at all those verses, because there's so many things that the Bible says about temptation. I've condensed them into 7 truths for us that you and I can understand. We need to understand this because we all battle with it. We're all battling temptation. Truth number 1, the devil is more focused on Christ followers. So if you're a Christ follower, you need to know that he's more focused on you. See, he wants to knock you down. He wants you to satisfy your own desires and wants in ways that are out of the boundaries of God's design for you. The enemy wants you to force God's hand. He wants you to compromise because of the pain that you have in your life, or because you're trying to create some kind of success and whatever that means in your life. And it's very easy. And so you need to understand that the devil is more focused on you as a Christ follower. So if you're here or in any one of our campuses, Northmont, Springboro, if you're there and you're not a Christ follower, first of all, we are so honored, Centerville, if you're here or in any one of our campuses, we're so glad that you're here and you're wrestling with who Jesus is. Because as we read these stories and as we look at the snapshots of who he is, we see that he was fully man and fully God. And we want to wrestle with all of this. This is so important for you. And if you're not a Christ follower, you're probably thinking, well, that's great news for me. At least the enemy's not after me. Well, let me give you the bad news. There's only one thing the enemy wants to do in your life if you're not a Christ follower. Can I just warn you in advance, if you're here or if you're part of any one of our campuses? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, the enemy, the devil, wants to blind you or to confuse you to who Jesus is. That's all he's trying to do. And so I would fight that as hard as you can over these next 6 weeks as we take these snapshots of Jesus, because the only thing the enemy wants to do in the life of an unbeliever or somebody who's not a Christ follower is to blind you and to help you to see that very confusing. But truth number 1, you need to know that the devil is more focused on Christ followers. There's nothing more that he would want than for you to fail and to give in and to just completely implode in your life. Whether you're 14, 16, or whether you're anywhere in between, make sure that you understand that. The devil is most focused on Christ followers. Here's truth number 2. We will all be tempted, and that is not a sign of weakness or a sign of sin in your life. We will all be tempted. See, the great thing about Matthew chapter 4 is that Jesus, who was fully man and fully God, was tempted, but he didn't sin. He did not sin. You will face temptations. You will face it this week. You will face it next month. You will face it the rest of your life. So if you're in your 30s, you saw that in your 50s, it still happens. In your 80s, it still happens. Temptation is there. It is not a sign of weakness or sin in your life. See, temptation is not sin. For if it were, Jesus would have sinned. See, it's not sin. So we need to understand in this truth that if we're tempted to satisfy our wants and our desires, or if we're tempted to force God's hand, or if we're tempted to compromise to try to avoid some kind of pain in our lives or to create some kind of success, it's not a weakness in your life and it's not sin in your life. It is temptation, because the enemy is after you. He's after me. Here's truth number 3. Temptations start with us. And then the devil pounces. See, no one can ever say the devil made me do it. You know why? Because in Scripture it says that temptations start with us. You and I, in all of our campuses, we are sons and daughters of Adam. We have this sin nature inside of us. And so we're constantly battling temptation. And it comes because of thoughts and emotions in our lives, because of events in our lives or places. Make sure you catch that. It's thoughts, events, or places in our lives. See, in Scriptures, it says in James chapter 1, verse 14, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. You will be tempted because of your own desires and wants. You will be tempted because you want to force God's hand. You will be tempted because you want to avoid pain or create success in your life. Temptation starts with us. And then the devil pounces. So it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter said, the devil is like a roaring lion waiting to just consume you and pounce on you in your life. That's why it's so important for us to measure our thoughts and the events and the places. Those three things are really important in our lives because temptation starts with us and then the devil pounces on that. And so when you have a sense on the inside that you want to satisfy a particular desire, let me tell you, the devil's going to pounce on that. If you feel like you want to force God's hand in some way, the devil's going to pounce on that. If you're feeling like you need to compromise because you've got pain in your life or you want success, the devil's going to pounce on that. It starts with us, and then the devil pounces on that. That's truth number four. Here's truth number four is this. Never say, I will never do that. That's foolish. Saying, I will never do that is foolish. This week has been a really hard week for me, actually, because I have a friend who's a leader. He's not in this city. He's not even in this state, so don't try to guess who it is. Don't send an email and say, is it this guy or that guy? You don't know him. He's a leader. He's a friend of mine. He has massive, massive influence. And this week, I got a phone call from him, and he said to me that he had admitted to a 2-year extramarital affair with another woman who was in his leadership with him. I was broken. I didn't even know what to say. What do you say to a person like that, a leader? I want you to know that we need, when we fail and when we give in to temptation, what we need in our lives is the church. Am I right? We need the church. So I felt compelled this week to go and see him. I went to see him. We sat in a restaurant for 3 hours. He doesn't even live in this state. I sat with him in a restaurant for 3 hours and I just listened to him. I was pretty straight with him, but I listened to him. And I had already finished this message, and I had already studied this weeks and months ago, and I sat down, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I couldn't believe it. He said it. I couldn't believe it. We were sitting there having dinner together, and he said to me, he said, Dave, I never thought I would do this. And I said, well, that was your first mistake. He goes, I know. He said, I wish I could tell everybody I know. Never say, I would never do that. It's a foolish, foolish thing. One of the truths of temptation is that the enemy will try to get you to do something that you never think you'll do. That's the temptation that we face. So truth number four is, don't say, I will never do that. That is foolish in our lives. Here's truth number five. Sin that's not confessed or exposed will bring temptation that goes even further. So if you are struggling with satisfying a want and a desire in your life and you're giving into that temptation, let me tell you what I know about the enemy. He's going to pounce on you and try to get you to go further with that desire or want in your life. If you're trying to force God's hand, here's what I know. The enemy is going to pounce on you and try to get you to go further and further into forcing God's hand. If you're compromising because you're experiencing pain, the enemy is going to pounce on you and try to get you to go further and further in that area. If you're trying to create success and you're compromising, then the enemy is going to pounce on you. See, sin is not confessed or exposed will bring temptations to take us further. And as I was there with my friend, so much has happened. I mean, it was a colossal mistake on his part. He mentioned to me that there was an incident that took place. And then 3 months later, there was another incident. And then there was another incident. And then there was another incident, and it went on for two years. And it just went further and further and further in his life. And I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to him, and I had already processed this, and I'm thinking through these truths in our lives. See, when it's not confessed or exposed, the enemy will capitalize on that and want you to go further and further. I asked him, I said, would you say something? I said, I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to be dealing with temptation. We're going to be looking at Jesus' life in Matthew. What would you say to that? I'm sitting in a restaurant with him. And these are his exact words. Quote, I have recently experienced the untold pain of ignoring the warning signs and following temptation into places of nothing but heartache. Sin promises what it can't deliver and takes you further than you ever intended to go. It goes further and further and further. End quote. That's truth number five. Here's truth number six. Overcoming temptation starts with a decision. There is a way out. When you and I are faced with temptations, there is a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. In other words, all of us face temptation. There's not one of us in here that doesn't face it. We all face it. And God, it says in 1 Corinthians, is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up underneath it. God will provide a way out. But here's what God won't do. God won't pull you out of that temptation. You and I have to make a decision. You know what's interesting about a car? If you buy a relatively new car and you have power steering, it's amazing. I remember in driving school, and maybe some of you remember, I don't think they do it now anymore, but you had to put 10 and 2. Remember those days? Help me out here. Anybody remember those days? 10 and 2. And so you're in your car and you're going somewhere, and when you have your hand on the steering wheel, if you need to take a left turn, you have to make a decision to make that turn. The power behind making that turn is this amazing thing called power steering. Have you ever heard of it? It's amazing. And so your hands are on there, and we don't even think about it because we just do it all day long. Our hands are there, and the minute that you decide to turn and you turn, the power to turn that is not in your hands. It's in the power of the power steering, but the decision came from you. Are you with me? When we face temptation, overcoming temptation starts with a decision, and then it is given a way out by the power of God. You are powerless to get out. That's why God provides the Holy Spirit inside of us, that when you decide no, he will give you the power. There is a way out, church. Isn't that great news? There is a way out for us. But it starts with a decision. Here's truth number seven. Don't underestimate prayer. Don't underestimate God's word. Don't underestimate extreme action in your life. That actually is the example that we have in Matthew chapter 4. See, prayer is really, really important because prayer keeps you connected with God. And when you're connected with God, he will help you in your soul and in your spirit and in your mind to be more aware of that which is happening around you so that you will not want to satisfy your wants and desires in the wrong way, so that you won't force God's hand, so you won't compromise in areas of your life. Prayer is so important. That's why Jesus says later on in Matthew chapter 26, to his disciples, close friends of his, he says this, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Does anybody know that? See, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why prayer, don't underestimate the prayer. And if you're in the middle of a temptation, don't underestimate stopping and saying, God, help me. That's all you need to say, God, help me. Don't underestimate prayer. Don't underestimate God's word. You see, you notice in this story that Jesus quotes the Bible often. If you've ever had anybody tell you that you ought to spend 5 minutes a day in some kind of a devotional life or 5 minutes a day in reading God's word, it isn't because it's a legalistic thing that you need to do as a Christ follower. Make sure you understand that. The reason why that's important for you is because you need God's word inside of you. And when you have God's word inside of you, you know what it does? It transforms your mind. It transforms your desires. It transforms your willingness to do things in life. It takes us away. Thirdly, don't underestimate extreme actions. See, there are thoughts, there are events, and there are places that you and I should not go and be a part of. If you're struggling in an area of your life, in a thought life, you need to figure out what the trigger for that is, because that trigger will cause that thought, and that thought will bring temptation. If there's an event that you're a part of and that event causes you to struggle with temptation, cut that event out of your life. If there's a location, cut that location out of your life. Go to extreme measures. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5. He said, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it away from you. For it's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. What Jesus is saying there is not that we ought to take our eyes and pluck them out. What he's saying there is take extreme action from the triggers in your life that brings the thoughts. Leave the events that you shouldn't be at, which bring temptation, and don't go to the places that bring about those kinds of things in your life. Seven truths of temptation. Here's the good news. John says it this way. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us. The word purify means wipe it away as if it never happened. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. Church, do you want to fight temptation? Do we want to fight temptation in our lives? Because if we do, we have a great example in Jesus. Great example. Would you just bow your heads with me for just a minute? In all of our campuses, Springboro, Northmont, join us here. Because we all face temptation. You might be right now dealing with an area of your life where you're forcing God's hand. Confess it. You may be satisfying a desire or want in a wrong way. Confess it. Maybe you're trying to avoid pain or create success, but you're compromising. Confess it. There is a way out. There is a way out. God, we thank you that you love us so much that you give us the power to fight the temptation in our lives. We thank you for the supreme example of Jesus, who was sinless and yet knows what every one of us are feeling and thinking as we deal with this in our lives. I pray that you'd strengthen us. I pray that you'd cause us today, some of us, to leave here purified, knowing that with your help, we have the power to say no. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said,